السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So last week, two weeks ago, we talked about the marriage of Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha to Ali karramallahu wajha radiallahu anhu. And we talked about some of the different things about, you know, when they got married. It was after, obviously, after Badr, and some of the events that took place in their blessed marriage. We also talked about their children and Ahlul Bayt a little bit. So one of the things, main things that, if you remember, we talked about one of the arguments that Ali and Fatima radhiallahu anhuma had, and how Ali radhiallahu anhu took to go to the masjid. He went straight to the masjid, and one of the benefits of this, what I want to talk about, is to cool off, to basically separate and, you know, give some space, give some breathing space to each of the spouses. Also, Ali radhiallahu anhu, he went and we talked about the nickname that the Prophet ﷺ had given him. What was that? Anybody remember what was the nickname that the Prophet ﷺ gave to Ali radhiallahu anhu when he found him in the masjid, sleeping in the masjid? Yes.
Yeah,
Abu Turab. Barakallahu fik. Abu Turab. Okay. Abu Turab meaning the father of dirt, because he was sleeping on the dirt floor of the masjid. There was no carpets, so he was sleeping on the floor and the dirt had covered his body. So Rasulullah ﷺ lovingly said to him, Qum Aba Turab, stand up, O the father of dirt. And Ali radhiallahu anhu said, I loved that name more than anything else after that. another thing we learn is the importance of the mediator of a relationship, of a marriage, to be just. Ali radhiallahu anhu is the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, and basically like a son to Rasulullah ﷺ, because he grew up in his house since he was a baby. And Fatima radhiallahu anha on the other side is his daughter, his beloved daughter. And we see how Rasulullah was being just. He didn't call out Ali radhiallahu anhu to say anything negative to him. He didn't say anything to his daughter and yell at her, say it's all your fault or anything like that. But he was being just. And basically the purpose and goal of mediating between a husband and wife is to basically get rid of any type of negativity and bring the spouses together. So Rasulullah did that excellently. So going on, another thing that happened in between Badr and Uhud, remember there was about 11 months in between. Ramadan, 17th of Ramadan, is when the Battle of Badr took place. And the Battle of Uhud took place in the third year of Hijri, 1 year after that. 11 months after that, in the month of Shawwal, the 7th of Shawwal. Okay? So about, yeah, you could say 12 months after that. Okay, so 1 year after that. Approximately. So we know that after Badr, one of the significant events that took place was Abu Sufyan. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where Abu Sufyan made a vow. He said that I will not take a bath until we attack the Muslims, attack the Prophet ﷺ. They did that. They fulfilled their vow by going and attacking the outskirts of Medina Manawara, and they killed two people and then they took off with some animals. So one of the things that after Badr, we talked about how the Quraysh forbade anyone from mourning. So they weren't allowed to mourn in public, and they weren't allowed to, you know, show their emotions or anything like that. So it was something banned because of the heavy losses that they suffered in the Battle of Badr. Now, there's a hadith narrated by the former slave of Abbas radiallahu anhu. His name is Abu Rafi' radiallahu anhu, and he was a Muslim at this time, and he says basically he was next to the Kaaba where Abu Lahab saw Abu Sufyan. So this is after Badr, and remember, we know Abu Lahab did not go to Badr. He sent someone who owed Al-As ibn Hisham, the brother of Abu Jahl. He sent him in his place, and he said, if you go in my place, I will forgive the debt that you owe me. So Abu Lahab did not go to Badr. Now when Abu Sufyan came back from Badr, Abu Lahab was, you know, shocked to hear the news that they had such a large army. How did they lose to the Muslims? So he asked Abu Sufyan, can you give me the details? Explain to me what happened. And Abu Sufyan started telling him, and one of the things he said that they just came and they killed us like it was nothing. And one of the reasons behind that was there was junood that we saw coming from the skies. He said, we saw people coming down on horses from the skies. This is Abu Sufyan saying this himself. And when he said this, Abu Rafi radiallahu anhu, who was a Sahabi, he is a Muslim, he couldn't contain himself. So he says, he gets up and yells out to Abu Lahab and Abu Sufyan. He said, those were the angels sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says this, and Abu Lahab pounces on Abu Rafi radiallahu anhu. He starts beating him really bad, severely, beating him up because of the words that he said. And Fadl radiallahu anha, the wife of Abbas radiallahu anhu, she was Muslim. Okay, and like I said, there's a difference of opinion about Abbas radiallahu anhu. Was he Muslim before Badr or not? Some ulama say he was Muslim, and his wife was also Muslim. Some other opinions say that Abbas radiallahu anhu was not confirmed as a Muslim, but later on after Badr he became a confirmed Muslim. Allahu alam, but maybe it could be that he was hiding his Islam, and then after Badr he openly declared that he is Muslim. Anyway, so Fadl, the wife of Abbas radiallahu anhu, she was there seeing her slave being beaten like that. So she took one of the poles and she actually hit Abu Lahab on the head. This is her brother-in-law. She hit him on the head and she injured him. He was bleeding at this. And she yelled out, she said that you only have judrat, or you only have this courageousness, this courage, because the owner of Abu Rafi is not here. The master of Abu Rafi is not here, so you're beating up the slave. So she hit him, and then he actually just, in shame, walked away and left. Abu Rafi radhiallahu anhu, he says that not even seven days had passed after this incident where Abu Lahab got extremely sick. He had a disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a disease on him. So not only psychologically was he shocked and hurt because of what happened in Badr, but also physically he got a disease. It's called Al-Adsa or Adsa. It's basically a plague type thing or disease. And he became very sick from this. And the next days or weeks or whatever the time period that he had the sickness was very difficult on him. And when he died, 3 days passed, his dead body was in the house, and it started smelling because of the stench of the dead body and the hot weather, that one of the people from Quraysh came to the sons of Abu Lahab, and he said to him, "Ala tastahyan," like, don't you have any shame, "anna abakuma qad antana fi bayti," that the body of your father is rotting in the house, and the smell is going through the streets of Mecca, and you have no shame, you're not burying your father, what's going on? So they they got some poles, some long poles, they dug a grave, and they basically dragged or pushed his body into that grave, and they covered the grave. So this is the sons of Abu Lahab, they did this. And this kind of reminds you of what happened in the last 2 years when COVID came. Unfortunately, a lot of people saw their own parents or loved ones, family relatives, die from COVID, and they weren't able to visit them, and they weren't even able to, because they're so scared of the disease, they didn't even go to the funeral, they didn't even see their parents or family members before they died, after they had died. Anyway, so going on, these two sons that were Abu Lahab's sons, he had four children. So Abu Lahab and Jamil had four children. And Jamil again, who is the sister, who is the brother of Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab? Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab, she was a sister of which man of Quraysh? I think I mentioned this briefly, but it was actually Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan was the brother-in-law of Abu Lahab. So you see how the families interrelated and stuff. So they had four children, Utbah, Utaybah, Mu'tab, and a daughter named Dudra. And all of them, three of the children of Abu Lahab, actually became Muslim. The enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Lahab and his wife, Jamil, the ones who are mentioned in Surah Al-Masad, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin Watab, their kids, three of the four kids became Muslim. Utaybah, on the other hand, died as a kafir. And I think we did talk about this one time when Rasulullah started giving da'wah in Mecca. Utbah and Utaybah, the older sons of Abu Lahab, they had nikah done with the Prophet's daughters, Ruqayyah and Kulthum, radiallahu anha, radiallahu anhumah. and they hadn't consummated, they weren't married, they weren't living together, but they just had the nikah done. And Abu Lahab, at the revelation of Surah Al-Masad or Surah Al-Lahab, he got so upset, he told his sons that I have nothing to do with you until you go and divorce his daughters. And so his two sons went. Utbah was kind of quiet about it. He just said, basically, I divorce your daughter and that's it. And Utaybah was a little bit more aggressive, where he actually went to the Prophet ﷺ and he humiliated the Prophet ﷺ basically by yelling at him in his face, saying that I divorce your daughter, I have nothing to do with you. And they say that he also ripped the shirt of the Prophet ﷺ. So he grabbed the Prophet ﷺ by the shirt and he ripped his shirt. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua against Utaybah. And he said that, I ask Allah SWT to send one of his dogs to go and to take care of you. And this fear in his heart remained. And I mentioned this, how they was going to Syria in one of the expeditions or trade expeditions. And while they were going, they saw a huge lion come and it was watching them. And when Utaybah got very afraid, and he says, I fear the dua of Rasulullah that he's going to attack me. And they said that at night, they put the whole camp, they camped around, they put Utaybah in the middle of the camp to protect him, basically. And they said that at night, this lion came and it started going through, smelling each person and smelling the tents and the people who were sleeping. And he skipped through all the way to the middle where Utaybah was. And they said he attacked him and he killed him right there instantly. So that was Utaybah, the son of Abu Lahab. He was the only one who dies as a kafir. The rest of the three became Muslim. Now, also another thing that happened between Badr and Uhud is that the marriages of Kulthum, radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay, so she's the third daughter. There's four daughters of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You have Zainab, radiallahu anha. You have Ruqayya, radiallahu anha. Kulthum, radiallahu anha. And Fatima Zahra, radiallahu anha. So the third daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, remember Zainab radhiallahu anha was already married, okay, to someone else. Ruqayya radhiallahu anha was married to Uthman radhiallahu anha, and then she passed away during the Battle of Badr, or during that time, she was buried when the news came to Medina. When it reached Medina that they had won, she was being buried right at that time. So next, the daughter of Kulthum radhiyallahu anha, and actually the daughter of Umar bin Khattab radhiyallahu anha, which is Hafsa radhiyallahu anha. So these marriages took place in between Badr and Uhud. So the husband of Hafsa, so Hafsa radhiyallahu anha, the daughter of Umar bin Khattab radhiyallahu anha, she was married to a man named Khunais ibn Hudhafa radhiyallahu anha. And Khunais radhiallahu anhu was a Muslim. They both went to Habasha. They did the first hijrah to Abyssinia. They came back and then they went to Medina Munawwara. They did the second hijrah to Medina Munawwara. And Khunais radhiallahu anhu was injured in the Battle of Badr. So he sustained injuries in the Battle of Badr. And I'm not sure exact time period, but after the Battle of Badr, after returning to Medina Munawwara, he died because of those injuries. This is Khunais ibn Hudhafa radhiyallahu anhu. So he died from those injuries and from those wounds after getting back to Medina Munawwara. One thing to mention about Khunais ibn Hudhafa radhiyallahu anhu, his brother is very famous Sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radhiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radhiyallahu anhu, this is after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is during the time, the Khilafa of Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, where Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radhiyallahu anhu was captured by the enemy, by the Romans, and the famous incident where he was locked in a cage and they kept him hungry for 3 days. No water, no food, nothing for 3 days. And then they sent in pork and wine for him to eat and drink. And Abdullah ibn Hudhafa then refused to eat that, even if he knew he was going to die. He refused to eat that. After that, they tried another trick. They sent a beautiful woman in there, immoral woman, to go and seduce him, basically. So this woman was sent into the cage or into the prison, and Abdullah ibn Hudhafa did not even look up at her. He remained with taqwa. He was muttaqi. He had that strong taqwa, and he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't even look at her. And she actually complained after she was taken out. She complained. She said, like, what kind of rock did you put me into in the room with? He didn't even look at me. He didn't even look up at me. That's how strong his taqwa was and his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. So now the king, or the governor, whoever he was, he called Abdullah radhiallahu anhu. He says to him, I will give you half of my wealth, half of my kingdom, and I will marry you, my daughter, if you just leave Islam. And Abdullah radhiallahu anhu says, even if you give me this and all the world and what it contains, I will not leave Islam for one split second. And we know this is one of the hadith of the Prophet when he said that if you have three qualities, you will taste the sweetness of iman. And one of them is not wanting to go back to kufr, just like someone who would not want to be thrown into a fire pit. So that was Abdullah ibn Hudhaf radhan, the brother of Khunais radhan. So Khunais radhan passes away after Badr, and Umar radhan, after the idda was over, he wants his daughter. Remember, his daughter was young. She was, I think, 18. I believe it was around 18 she was at that time. And he wanted his daughter, 18 or 21, one of those two. I don't remember exactly. But he wanted his daughter to get married. And the importance of getting women, the young women and young men married again, even after their spouses have passed away. And Umar radhan goes to Uthman, because Uthman radhan had lost his wife, Ruqayya radhiallahu anha. So he goes to Uthman and he offers his daughter to Uthman radhiallahu anha. He does not wait for someone to come and ask. He himself is being proactive. He finds a suitable husband, a match for his daughter. So he actually goes to Uthman radhiallahu anha and offers his daughter to Uthman. Uthman radhiallahu anha asks for some time to think about it, and after a couple of days he says, I'm sorry, I don't want to get married right now. He was still devastated, he was still sorrowful for losing his wife, so he said, I'm not ready to get married at this point. So Umar radhiallahu anha, next he goes to Abu Bakr Siddiq. He goes to Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anha, and he offers his daughter to Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anha. Abu Bakr radhiallahu anha does not even respond. He keeps quiet. He does not say a word. So Umar radhiallahu anha is deeply offended by this. And he says, he's later on when he's narrating the hadith, he said that I was deeply offended. You know, at least Uthman radhan came back and told me something, give me some time to think about it. Abu Bakr radhan did not even say anything. He didn't even respond. He just kept quiet. So Umar radhan says, I went to the Prophet to complain that Abu Bakr radhan, the way he treated me, the way he just kept quiet. And he says that Rasulullah says that what if Uthman radhan gets a better wife than your daughter, and your daughter will get a better husband than Uthman radhiallahu anhu, or better than Uthman and Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu. And Umar radhiallahu anhu says at this point, who's there? He didn't think of it. And Rasulullah says he proposes to Umar radhiallahu anhu for Umar radhiallahu anhu's daughter, Hafsa radhiallahu anha. He said, I will marry your daughter, and I will ask Uthman radhiallahu anhu to marry my other daughter, Kulthum radhiallahu anhu. And this is narrated also after when Kulthum radhiallahu anha dies, when she passes away, the second wife or second daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, married to Uthman radhiallahu anhu, when she passes away, Rasulullah ﷺ says, if I had 40 daughters, I would marry one of them after another to Uthman radhiallahu anhu until the last one had survived. Meaning that's how good of a son-in-law he is, and such a good man he is, that I would marry all my daughters to him one by one if it came to that. So Uthman radhiallahu anhu marries Kulthum radhiallahu anha, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam marries the daughter of Umar radhiallahu anhu, Hafsa radhiallahu anha. Now, one of the things that Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu comes to Umar radhiallahu anhu after the proposal had been done and everything, and he said to him that you got upset with me, you were angry with me for the way I responded, the way I kept quiet. And Umar radhiallahu anhu says, yes, I was really upset. He said that I heard the Prophet mentioning your daughter, so I kept quiet. And I didn't want to reveal the secret of the Prophet. Remember the hadith of the Prophet, Al-Majalis bil Amana, that anything any type of gathering, if you're talking, you're supposed to keep those secrets. Those are secrets that you're supposed to keep. You're not supposed to reveal it to anyone unless there's someone being harmed or something like that. There's a valid reason. But otherwise, you're supposed to keep it a secret. So Abu Bakr Adhan said, this was a secret of the Prophet ﷺ, and I did not want to reveal the secret, so I kept silent. And I was going to say, if the Prophet ﷺ decided not to marry Hafsa radhiallahu anha, then I would surely have married her. Now, so that was the Sha'ban, the right before Ramadan of the third year of Hijri. This is when the marriage took place. Okay, another incident that happened in between Badr and Uhud, excuse me, is the Ghazwa Ghatafan. And this is the tribe of Ghatafan that were in Najd, and they were preparing to attack Medina. Excuse me, attack the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ led 450 Sahaba, and he went, and this is, again, this is larger than the number of Badr. So this is the largest contingent, you could say, or largest army led by the Prophet ﷺ so far in the history of Islam. 450 Sahaba went with the Prophet ﷺ to this area where Banu Ghatafan was. And Banu Ghatafan actually fled to the mountains. When they found out that the Prophet ﷺ had arrived, they fled to the mountains and they hid in the mountains. One of the members of this tribe was caught, and they actually invited him toward Islam, and he accepted Islam. So he became Muslim. The Muslims with the Prophet ﷺ, they camped at a place, at a water well called the Amr. The Amr, they went and they camped there, and they stayed there for quite a while, basically showing the enemy and telling them, taunting them or telling them that if you're man enough to come fight, come, we're right here, we're waiting for you to come fight. But no one showed up. One of the things that happened during that stay in that area of Banu Ghatafan was there was a man by the name of Da'thur Ghatafani. Da'thur Ghatafani, he saw an opportunity where the Prophet's clothing had become wet. It rained really heavily, rained hard, and the Prophet's clothing had become wet. So the Prophet took off the outer garments and hung them on a tree to dry, and he also hung his sword on a tree so he can dry his clothing. And while he went under the shade of a tree to rest, this Da'thur came forward. He snuck into the camp of the Muslims, and he grabbed the sword of the Prophet ﷺ, and he unsheathed the sword, basically, and put it to the face of the Prophet. The Prophet ﷺ woke up and saw the sword in his face, and he asked the Prophet ﷺ a question. He says, "Man yamna'uka minni?" That who's going to protect you from me and my wrath and my sword I have. Basically, the Prophet has some sword. And the Prophet looks to him and he says one word. He says, "Allah." And the ulama explained that he said it with such tawakkul and such yaqeen as suited for a Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam punched Da'thur in the chest. So he hit him in the chest, and Da'thur went flying back, and he dropped the sword. The Prophet ﷺ got up, grabbed the sword, and he put it to him, and he said, "Man yamna'uka minni?" Now who's going to protect you from me? And he started begging the Prophet ﷺ for his life. The Prophet ﷺ actually gave him da'wah, and he became Muslim. He became Muslim on the spot, and he went back to his people, and he started giving da'wah to his people. He became Muslim, and he started giving da'wah to his people. So this is one of the incidents that happened during this ghazwa. This incident happened twice. In Sahih Bukhari, it's mentioned about another ghazwa where a similar incident happened. And in that incident, the person did not become Muslim. He actually promised the Prophet ﷺ that I will not fight you again. Same words. He even used the same words, saying, "Man yamna'uka minni?" And who's going to protect you? And at that point, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Allah." And out of fear, he just starts shaking and he dropped the sword. And the Prophet ﷺ, he makes a promise to the Prophet ﷺ that he will not fight or attack the Muslims, and he goes back to his people. So anyways, another incident that happened in between Badr and Uhud, and this is basically like a prelude to the Uhud, that the Sariya of Zayd ibn Haritha, radiallahu anhu, okay, where the 100 Sahaba are sent with Zayd ibn Haritha radhiallahu anhu, they're sent to go and attack a caravan that was going to Syria, led by Safwan ibn Umayyah. and I believe Abu Sufyan was also with them. And they went and they actually attacked the caravan. They had 100,000 dirhams was taken as spoils from that attack. And they split, you know, the hummus, 20,000 going to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so at his discretion, and the rest of it was split amongst the Muslims. This angered the Quraysh even further. It's not only that they lost in Badr, but this, you know, they lost a lot of extremely high amount of wealth in this Sariya. So they started making preparations after this to attack the Muslims, and that's when we go to Uhud. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll stop there, and next week we'll continue on with the Battle of Uhud itself, the, you know, how the Kufar came to Mecca and some of the things that happened before the battle. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.